Thank you, Janine, for that special music, especially that was way over the top. And praise team, thank you. Well, happy Father's Day. One little boy was asked to explain about Father's Day, and he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, except you don't have to spend as much on a present." I'm glad there's a Father's Day. It still gives us a chance to honor those who stand at the helm, who gather their team in the huddle, and who lead their family through life's battles. Our Heavenly Father, as the songs we sung here, that we just sung, our Heavenly Father gives us an example. God loves His children. You are loved this morning. You're loved beyond your imagination this morning. And the first thing we learn from looking at Him is that He loves His children. There are many passages of Scripture that talk about God's love for His children. We love because He first loved. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. And again, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God did not wait for us. He reached out in love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you. He did not wait for us to meet His expectations. He did not wait for us to make Him proud. He did not wait until we measured up to His standards. He simply loved us, and He loves us first. God's love for us is complete, constant, and unconditional. We cannot earn it. We cannot escape it. We cannot erase it. He may be disappointed when we disobey, or saddened when we stray from Him, or sorrowful when we sin, but He never, ever stops loving us. Romans, the 8th chapter, the last two verses. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did He leave anything out? Incredible. God encourages His children. God, throughout Scriptures, encourages His children. He encouraged Moses at the burning bush. You know, He told him to take off his sandals because he stood on holy ground. And then He says, and now, you know, you got to think about Moses. Yeah, he was born in Egypt, and he was going to be the next Pharaoh, and he had a lot going for him. But then that all changed. It took 40 years in the desert herding sheep to get that moved out away from him to where he had a position of he really wasn't all important after all. And when he finally realized he wasn't all important after all, God says, "I want you to go bring My children out of slavery." Me? Yes, you. And Joshua, before entering into the promised land, he promised him that "I will do all that's necessary for you to take this land that I'm giving to you. I will go ahead of you and open the doors, defeat the enemies, and give to you the prize I've promised." God, when He reaches out to us, He enables us to do what is necessary. We don't have to rush ahead of Him and do whatever we think needs to be done. we might try waiting on him, and he'll enable us to do what he's called us to do. Yes. Have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. God saw the things his children could do. He encouraged them to go out and do them. Sadly, many parents, no matter how spiritual or conscientious, are more prone to send messages laced with criticism than with encouragement. It is so important to watch our words. The Apostle Paul challenges us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. God disciplines his children. I heard a story about triplets, three little identical boys. They got along well. They just really loved each other. They saw everything alike. They were loyal to each other. If somebody got in trouble, they wouldn't tattle. They were committed to each other. And a neighbor asked the father, he says, how in the world do you know which one to punish when they get in trouble? Dad says, it's easy. I just send them to bed without supper. The next morning, I spank the one with the black eye. Discipline. Discipline is often seen as just a bad word. Discipline. You know, discipline has got a root. The root word for discipline is disciple. That's to train. Discipline is not for punishment. Discipline is for training. Yeah, but we like to punish people. That's kind of who we are as humans. You know, we like to beat each other up. But it doesn't do us any good. It is to reach out and to train and to disciple and to love and to accept and to bring in close. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Proverbs 3:12 says, the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. A man who disciplines his children wisely, and that's a key word, I even underlined it in my notes, wisely is reflecting the character of God. We discipline because we love our children. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that wrong actions have negative consequences. James Dobson, in his book, Dare to Discipline, which is older than most of you, says, good fathers are made, not born. Then he goes on to suggest three specific things a father should keep in mind. Number one, children oftentimes follow in the footsteps of their father. During the earliest years of a child's life, he or she usually spends a great deal of time with their mother. But the passing years bring a change, and a father often becomes the example in attitude and action that the child follows. Like it or not, the example that a father sets about God and church and spiritual things will make an indelible impression upon a child's life. Someone said, fathers are followed, and this is not something that we can just turn over to mother to handle. The father should be the spiritual leader in the home. Secondly, he says that the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Oh, see, got some amens from some mothers. That was good. Very good. Next to his own relationship with God, a father's top priority should be to love his wife. Paul tells us in Ephesians, husbands and us, to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's Ephesians 5:25. If there is that kind of love in a family, then that home is blessed indeed. And thirdly, a Christian father will arrange to spend time with his children. No matter how fathers try to escape this idea, the fact remains that ultimately we control our time and can pretty well decide how to spend it. But to be a good father, you need a model, an example, a father that you can pattern yourself after. Where do we find such a father? Where do we look? Is there such a thing as the perfect father? In the light of God's love, encouragement, and discipline, we fathers must realize that it is our responsibility to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The Seventh-day Adventist Christian education is a vital link to a rich and faithful life, yet not all take advantage of this ministry. But by not taking advantage, we're sending mixed signals to our children. Going to a different school system means that education is simply a matter of choice. The commitment to Adventist education sets an example to the wider commitment to the Advent movement and the sincere beliefs we hold to be true. Now, we all believe that Jesus is coming soon, don't we? We long for that. It is our hope. He gave us the promise over and over again. The promise is sure as his first coming, so will be the second coming. And we believe in that Adventist message, Seventh-day Adventist. And the beliefs that we hold are just the fabric of who we are. But we have to pass those on to our children. And the best way to do that is through our educational system. It's not perfect or without fault. It's expensive and in some ways inconvenient. But our church is committed to breaching these barriers. But the choice comes down to the family commitment. Mary and I decided to make whatever sacrifice was necessary to have our children in Adventist education, even if we disagreed with some of the teachers over time, and we did. Our church schools did not let our children down. My daughter is the school board chairman for a K-12 Adventist school. She's an elder in her church and a praise team leader and a great mother. My son is the president of an Adventist hospital, the head elder of his church, and a wonderful father. My grandkids are all in Adventist schools. The importance of modeling and encouraging and giving consistency in our Adventist education certainly makes a big difference. Mary and I are so grateful for that. My dad, whom I didn't know very well, he was never around a whole lot, but when he went to church school until the 9th grade. He was the middle child of 8 children. One younger brother and 6 sisters. But his father had a stroke when he was 14 years old, and he was bedridden for 10 years until his death. They lived on an 80-acre dairy farm, and he worked the farm and kept all of his siblings in church school until they graduated. when his dad died, my grandfather, he sold the farm and they divided the proceeds eight ways. And grandma came to live with us when we moved to town. My brother and sister went to church school for a little while, but I didn't, through the seventh grade. We were the black sheep of the McCulloch clan. All the rest of my cousins went to church school, but we didn't. Then we moved to Oregon when I was 13. And we had a family meeting. Dad decided it was time for a new start. When we get moved to Oregon, we're going to go to church every week. And he looked at me and said, "And you're going to go to church school." That wasn't what I was looking for. But we did as Dad asked us to do. Psalm 78 and Deuteronomy 6 tell us to teach our children as we sit down and as we stand up, as we walk along and as we lie down, and to pass on from generation to generation the instruction of God so that they won't be stiff-necked and rebellious. We are to pass on the rich heritage of our faith, the faith of our fathers, to our children and to their children's children from one generation to another. There are times in all of our lives when positive events take place that we never forget. It might instill some self-worth or an expression of love and care that came about sort of unexpectedly. When young, we're like sponges soaking in every experience. We never forget. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I went with my grandpa, my mom's dad, to buy a cow. My dad was a cattle broker, and so that's why I never saw him, because he was always somewhere buying cows. But my grandpa bought dairy cows for the local dairies, and he would just go buy a cow or two once in a while to fill in for the herd. So he picked me up in his little cattle truck, and off we went. And we went to the auction yard to buy a dairy cow. But before the sale started, we went down to the cafe and had a piece of lemon meringue pie. He didn't find the cow that he was looking for. So we got in the truck, and we traveled a couple hours up the road to another auction. And before he found the cow he was looking for, we had another piece of lemon meringue pie. Finally, finding the cow that he wanted, he bought it. We loaded it, headed home, but not before stopping along the way and having a piece of lemon meringue pie. I've never forgotten that day. I'm just a little kid. But my grandpa wanted me to experience a day of being an adult. To go buy a cow. And to have dessert 3 times. And it was okay. I used to sit in church every week with my grandpa. So, the images we have of our past are so meaningful to us today because of the impressions they make, the trust they build, the self-worth they give to us. And in those times and efforts, the consistency that we receive love makes a difference for us today. God wants us to pass that on to those behind us, to our children and our children's children, to help them to know. We have a church that is so incredible. The ministries that our church is able to do, the education that our church has invested millions and probably billions of dollars into, is cheap for what we get. God is coming soon. Jesus is coming back as he promised. And we want to be there with each other, but we want to be there with our kids and our kids' kids. And if we're old enough, at 95, their kids. I'm a fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. My grandkids are sixth generation Seventh-day Adventist. But it's because of who Jesus is that we are who we are. There are times, places, events, and people in our lives, but it is people that make the difference when God is in their midst. My grandpa helped me see Jesus. 1 John 3 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Amen. A father felt the touch of a tender hand in his and adjusted his steps to the tiny steps of the child. They walked along, stopping to look at all of God's beauty and grandeur. They walked in the fields and picked the flowers. They felt the delicate petals and smelled their fragrance. They watched the bird in flight and another building her nest. They watched all the beauties of nature while the father told his child stories about God over and over again. Finally, one day in the twilight, they saw the face of God. And without hesitation, the child placed his hand trustingly into the hand of his heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day. Let us pray. Father, you are such a wonderful God, so long-suffering. We mess up so much along the way, but you never let go. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your tremendous forgiveness and kindness, and we thank you for the promise of a soon-coming Savior, and we long for that day. This world is going down the toilet pretty fast, and I just pray that you would come soon. But Lord, give us help us to take every opportunity before us to lift up our children, to guide our children, and help them to see Jesus. I pray your will be done. Bless us throughout this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.